This is Reading for Living, Unit 3, Lesson 3.
Hi, Tom. Got your Christmas shopping almost done?
Oh, hi, Bob. I didn't see you. To tell you the truth, I've been having a lot of trouble with Christmas shopping this year.
Yeah, I know how it is. The hardest one I have to shop for is my father. I never know what to get him, and once I come up with an idea, I can never find what I'm looking for. And my brother's gift is the same way.
No, that isn't what I meant. I know what I want to buy everybody, I just can't afford it.
I know that feeling. But I guess we just have to be a little less generous, pick out some less expensive things.
Well, it's more than that. I can't afford the less expensive gifts either. I think if I bought everybody on my list bubblegum, I'd just about have enough money to swing it.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess now's not the time to mention it, but it sounds like you could use a budget.
Good would that do?
Well, not too much good this Christmas, but it might help you have money on hand come next Christmas.
Gee, I don't know. I don't make enough money to write up a whole budget. The money comes in, and I pay the bills and spend the rest on food and things I need.
When you don't make enough money is exactly when you need to write up a whole budget. A list of all your money coming in and bills you have to pay, money you need for food, emergencies, and everything else. Tell you what, if you like, drop by the house sometime next week, and I'll show you how I budgeted my money. I don't make much, let me tell you. And my budget was really a lifesaver.
Gee, thanks. I'd really appreciate that. I'll do it.
Fine. Give me a call, and I'll see you next week.
Sure thing, and thanks again. Let's see, maybe if I give my mother 2 pieces of bubble gum and my 2 brothers.
And before you read today's article on planning ahead with your money, you can plan ahead for your reading. Look at page 1 of your activity sheets. If you make sure you understand the words under vocabulary, you'll be better prepared for the article. Look at the vocabulary section now. First, let's look at the word key. One of the meanings of the word key, the one with which you're probably the most familiar, is that piece of metal that locks and unlocks a lock. The metal key makes the lock work. In a similar way, we use the word key to mean a simple or handy way to make anything work. The next word is income. That's easy enough. Your income is the money you make. But this word can be a little misleading, because when you talk about income, you have to know whether you're talking about your income before or after taxes. Everyone with an income has to pay taxes. Sometimes there's a big difference between what you make and what you take home. That difference is taxes. Income in today's article means what you have after income taxes have been taken out. The next word, outgo, simply means the money that goes out. It's the money you spend. Now we come to installment payments. An installment payment is a way of paying for an expensive item in small amounts over a period of time. This allows you to buy things that you may not be able to afford right now. The next word, individual, has more than one meaning, but the word as it is used in today's article means designed just for you. Now, let's read the case of the disappearing money. Paragraphs 1 and 2 introduce you to what the article is about. Paragraph 3 tells you what you can do about it. Stop the player and read the first 3 paragraphs, then turn it on again. The way to keep your money from just disappearing is to plan your spending, to manage your money. But, as the last sentence of paragraph 3 said, where do you begin? To find out, read just paragraph 4. Well, that seems simple, doesn't it? Just write down how much money you take home in a year and how much money you will spend in a year. But wait a minute. How much money will you spend in a year? And when will you spend it? The income part is pretty simple. Unless you get laid off, fired, or get a change in pay, your income is a steady amount that comes nicely divided at regular times throughout the year. But your outgo isn't so simple. The money is spent here and there, now and then, and just seems to dwindle away bit by bit. How can you plan your outgo for the coming year? Read paragraphs 5, 6, and 7 to find out. So far, you've added up your monthly bills, and you've added a little per month for an emergency fund. Paragraph 8 reminds you of some other expenses you need to add. Read paragraph 8 now. Now that you've added up your monthly bills, your emergency fund, your daily expenses, and your now-and-then purchases, you may be lucky enough to have just a little left over. What should you do with it? Read paragraph 9 to find out. Of course, save it, and save it with something special in mind. That way, you'll have something to look forward to, and it will be a lot easier to give up an ice cream cone here and a Coke there when you realize that you're giving them up for a color TV set, or a vacation, or Christmas. So what else can be said about money management? Read to the end of the article to find out. Why wouldn't a budget work once you've made it? Well, there are a couple of main reasons. First, if you've added up your outgo and find it's more than your take-home income, well, that's not going to work, is it? If this happens, you're either going to have to go out and get another job, or, more likely, cut back on the outgo. Unfortunately, the cutbacks are going to have to come on the most fun parts of your spending. You can't do much about your monthly expenses, and you can't afford to cut back on the emergency fund. If you cut out your savings, you won't have that special present to yourself to look forward to, or money to buy other people presents on special occasions. So, out goes the steak, and in comes the hamburger. Wear that suit or coat a little longer. Buy one new shirt or pair of pants instead of two. A movie every other week instead of every week. Things like that. Well, we've talked a lot about money management without ever really defining it, and I think you understand it better now. How is this possible? The comprehension section on the first page of your activity sheets will help explain. Turn to it now. In the Digging for Meaning exercise, you will work with implied ideas. These are ideas that aren't stated directly, but ones you should be able to get the meanings of by the way they are talked about. The directions tell you to read each statement below, then check the blank next to the correct answer. Use your story card to help you answer the first two questions if you need to. Okay, try digging for meaning on your own. When you've finished, we'll check your work. Ready to check? Be sure to mark any mistakes. For number one, planned spending should be checked. And for number two, thinking before spending. For number three, you should have checked the third blank beginning with, I don't like. We've all used the way of expressing ourselves the woman in paragraph number 3 used. It usually goes with a tone of voice that lets our listener know that we mean just the opposite of what we're saying. Why, Mother, I just love to turn off the TV and take out the garbage. Huh, I bet you would. That's your favorite program. Or, no, it didn't hurt. I like to have a 200-pound klutz stomp on my feet. Likely story, huh? And number 4, the second blank. This was a man who was afraid of his wife. In this exercise, I hope you saw how things can be meant, but not actually said. Sometimes that makes for more interesting writing. Sometimes it's done for a touch of humor, a joke. Seeing implied ideas in what you read makes you a better reader. Now, let's look at the word study section of today's lesson on page 2. In the activity called Saying It Better, we'll be working with adjective endings, or what are called comparative and superlative forms of adjectives. We say comparative because that's the adjective form we use when we compare two things. For example, Jill is pretty, but Maxine is prettier. Prettier is the comparative form of the adjective pretty. We use the superlative form when we are talking about the most of something or the best of something. The superlative is easy to understand because you can see the word super in superlative. The superlative form of the adjective pretty would be prettiest. Jill is pretty, Maxine is prettier, but Betty is prettiest. This activity will help you to learn which endings go with which adjectives to make the correct comparative and superlative forms. There are some sample adjectives on the left. These show how they would appear in a dictionary. After the word pretty in the dictionary comes A-D-J, meaning adjective. You might remember that an adjective is something which describes a noun. Then comes T-I-E-R and T-I-E-S-T. On the right side of your activity sheet, you can see that the comparative and superlative forms of pretty are prettier and prettiest. Smart follows the usual rule. The comparative form is smarter, and the superlative form is smartest. But some comparative and superlative forms are irregular. That means they don't follow the usual rules. The word many on your activity sheet is one of those words. You can see that the comparative and superlative forms of many are more and most. You can always find the correct comparative and superlative forms of an adjective by looking in a dictionary, but you should know them. That way, they're always there when you need them. Now, let's see if you can get the right forms on the first four words under Saying It Better. Look at each word. Think about its comparative and superlative forms. Then write those forms on the blank at the right. You will write each word twice. Use the sample listings above to help you. Stop the player now and see if you can write the comparative and superlative forms of the first four words. Let's see how you did. Mark any mistakes. Number 1. Tall. The comparative form is taller, E-R on the end of tall. The superlative form is tallest, E-S-T on the end of tall. Happy. Happier, H-A-P-P-I-E-R. And happiest, H-A-P-P-I-E-S-T. Good. I hope this one didn't fool you. The comparative form is better. The superlative form is best. Simple. Simpler, S-I-M-P-L-E-R. And simplest, S-I-M-P-L-E-R. E-S-T. Now, look at the rule below the four you just did. It says, longer words usually use the comparative form more and the superlative form most. You can see the word individual as a sample. Now, keeping this rule in mind, do numbers 5 through 10. Here's a hint. Not all these words use more and most. Okay, start now, and when you've finished, we'll check your work. Let's see how you did. Be sure to mark any mistakes. Curious. More curious. And most curious. Graceful. More graceful. And most graceful. Fancy. Fancier, F-A-N-C-I-E-R. And fanciest, F-A-N-C-I-E-S-T. Yellow. Yellower. And yellowest. Informal. More informal. And most informal. Beautiful. More beautiful. And most beautiful. How did you do? Did you notice that all of the three-syllable words use the comparative and superlative forms more and most? And did you notice that two of the two-syllable words used ER and EST? The other two-syllable word used more and most. You have to tune your ear to put the right endings on those adjectives. Speaking of tune, it's time for me to tune out. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson, and I hope we can work together again soon. So long for now.